You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Trample Bet Podcast for Saturday the 27th of February 2021. I'm your host John Walker and with me as always is Andy Vaughan.
Good evening, John.
And Gordo.
Hello.
So we see as always, but we have just signed up with the Sports Social Podcast Network, so we could have a host of whole new listeners. So for those, welcome to your first Trample Bet Podcast. Andy, we were clear before we started, nothing will change for existing listeners.
Nope.
You don't need to worry. This isn't like Wayne's World when Noah's Arcade buys the rights to it.
This whole new format, yeah. Whole new everything.
Here's John, here's Gordo, and here is Andy. It's Wayne's World, brought to you by Noah's Arcade.
Well, it does look like if I lean back that we've just taken on New Balance as our first sponsor, to be honest. Like, and with him and his Reebok in Wayne's World, where he puts his feet up on the desk.
I'm surprised you've seen Wayne's World Garden, the age you are.
Wayne's World's great. I had Wayne's World hair before this.
Yeah, what's the other ones? Oh, it's Pepsi in it. It really is the taste of a new generation.
No, it'll be the same old content that our listeners are used to. When I say old, obviously it's fresh every week, but the same format.
So if you are a new listener and you're trying to get used to the new voices, I am John. I am one of the three hosts who are on this every week. My main betting fetish, as you will get to know, is the Australian A-League. And there are so many reasons for this. It is a goal fest every week, second halves especially. But the thing that's best about it is if you bet on a Saturday and Sunday, it's your perfect way. Scrap that, you don't bet on an early kickoff. Myth. I go even earlier. I bet on a different time zone of early. I am betting on the Saturday and Sunday night games in Australia, which kick off at 6 and 8 a.m. UK time, live on BT Sport. So I will have you kicked off, all ready to go for the traditional Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs with money in the bank because of the over 1.5 goal games in the A-League.
Hi everyone, Andy Vaughan. Oh, it's been a while since I've done an introduction, John. This is great. Regular co-host of the Trample Bet, Dundee United season ticket holder, serial groundhopper around Europe and the world, taking as much as I can. The leagues I tend to focus on, UK-based leagues, but also a bit of Scandinavia and Germany, particular favourites, Danish Superliga, and also the Japanese J-League, which I find absolutely fascinating. And kicks off the 2021 season this very weekend. So people listening for the first time, perfect timing.
See, and I don't get to say perfect timing, unfortunately, right? Because the Swedish league doesn't kick off for another 4 weeks. Sickeningly enough, they take this long break and I can't go back into it. They're playing some stupid cup at the moment. Anyway, I'm Gordo. I specialise in leagues that you might be able to get a game in, to be honest. So the French National, I really like the French second division, Italian Sierra B, specifically for draws. I think I've been on the podcast now for about 90 episodes. For the first 10, I just sent in picks that weren't very good, and now I just tell you them here. So it's just easier than that. So excited to be on the Sports Social Network. But hello to all the new listeners.
It will be a very clear format of how we pick our bets. It'll become very apparent as we go. We go through a banker value outside the format, and then we do a charity treble, which is £10 of our own money on the treble. And when it comes in, all the winnings go to Beats and Cancer Trust, which is an element of Beats and Up in Scotland, a really good charity, really worthwhile charity. So if you're ever looking to donate, fundraise, have a look at their website. It is really tremendous, really good fundraising promotions going on there that we ourselves either send a tenner to or all the profits to. Now, we will go in and give you a revised feedback of what we did last week if you are a new listener. This is the part that's going to be pretty painful for me because as a new podcast on the Sports Social Podcast Network, I have to admit that my banker bet did not come in. And this is even more embarrassing after the intro that I've just given you about how good the A-League is. I have managed to bet twice in a row on the only back-to-back 0-0 draw in the last 12 years of Australian A-League football. That's like a tremendous stat that I'm able that's to good. Pick that out. It was absolutely brutal. So I had actually highlighted the banker bet at 1-4 of a goal in the second half of the Saturday morning A-League game between Sydney and Brisbane. The game finished 0-0 and there was no goal. To be honest, it was an absolute dull game. I think I text you. Well, you probably woke up to my barrage of texts saying...
I woke up to a lost coup, to be honest. That's how I started at Maddie.
It was honestly that it's the least I've enjoyed. I don't know because if it was the monetary element of it as well, but it's the least I've enjoyed an A-League game. Like, it was really, really painful knowing that every minute that went by, my bet wasn't coming in. Mm-hmm. And knowing that we were launching on this network this week, the minimum I wanted was my banker to come in, but it failed. And it's the age-old adage, right, Andy, is you don't tend to see a skint bookmakers. And there's a reason for that.
Conversely, my banker came in, and it was a 0-0 that made it a winner. Horsens versus Odense in the Danish Superliga. There was no way on earth Odense were ever going to lose this game against Horsens, and they didn't. It finished a 0-0 draw and a 1-3 banker bet safely returned.
Did you manage to back this incorrectly, Andy, on your own coupon?
And on one of them, yeah, I did. Which is incredible, and it made me so very angry. Happens to us all, especially when you're trying to multitask. But yeah, it was the X2 market away or draw, and it came good.
And you took Homer away.
Great. My banker came in. It was Real Madrid via the lead versus Real Madrid, and Real Madrid won 1-0. It was 1-2 came in at.
Yeah, it was a really good pick. See, for the odds you were getting, I still didn't understand. By the way, Atletico Madrid are doing everything to
throw that away.
Throw away their season just now. They lost their game on Saturday night at home to the team they dropped points to 4 days earlier and then have lost 1-0 at home to Chelsea in the Champions League after us backing them quite strongly at one point that they could probably do the league and Champions League double. To be fair, after we said that, they strolled through their group, which had Bayern Munich in it, and then gained an 11-point lead at top of La Liga, which is down to 2 now. So I don't think they can be held totally responsible, but it's a bit annoying.
Did you see on Twitter the hashtag Spanish Burnley was going around after that Chelsea game to describe their performance? It's so, like, it's mental how... British football pundits just don't understand how they play football, which is you have the ball and we hit you in the break. And like the joke goes, they can't hold on to the ball at all. It's, you know, it's a terrible performance. It's like, have you never watched them before? They don't play with the ball. The ball is only of their concern when it gets to one of their fullbacks and they launch it up front.
Do you know the thing that's really bugging me? I think it's because there's so much live football on just now. See by the way the English Premiership's been divvied up and that every game is on TV. So whereas only 99.99% of Man City's games would be on TV on a normal season, the full 100% is on TV.
Oh, whack.
And you know how the way that Man City are setting up with João Cancelo moving into midfield? Mm-hmm. It just became everyone's go-to comment during any Man City game. Like, it's just like homework notes is mention João Cancelo's in centre mid. You're going... After you've said it 4 times, I'm aware of it. You don't need to keep going on about it. It's fine. Let's just move on and stop repeating your same thing, like the Spanish Burnley thing. There are so many elements of that. But on that Atletico Madrid-Chelsea game is the Suarez yellow card. I've got a question, and I hope one of you can answer this. Can VAR yellow card somebody?
No, I don't think so.
Is that the issue?
I think you can only step in for reds, for stuff that ref may have missed or conduct.
If that's correct, which I'm not 100% sure on, and hope that a listener can clarify, because I have Googled it and can't get a definitive answer on any of the FA sites. Any of them won't clearly tell me whether you can or can't. If that's the rule, that's the worst element of this whole system, is that you can only go, only if it's a red card am I going to tell you any information. Because that's Suarez. We had him to be booked at 10-3, and he's committed at least 3 yellow card offences that have only been reviewed for a red card on VAR. And you're like, yeah, but they're all yellows. Mm-hmm. Everyone you reviewed was at least a yellow card. And I don't get why you would just ignore that. But that's just us ranting about stuff you can find in our Facebook group, which is another thing, if you're listening, you should definitely go and search out for. Facebook, search the Trample Bet Podcast. It is a private group. Loads of excellent content in there. We'll get to that at the end, but you should definitely go and do that right now if you're listening. Search in Facebook, the Trample Bet Podcast. Now on to more positive news on my value bet. Back in the Australian A-League, as I said, the goal fest. The well is not normally as dry as it was in the previous game. I bet on over 1.5 goals in the second half between Wellington Phoenix and Western Sydney Wanderers. It was 1-0 at half-time and the game ended 2-2. So there were 4 goals overall, 3 in the second half. As promised, the other thing to watch out for, Western Sydney Wanderer games, after 70 minutes, there has been a goal in every one of their league games this season. And you normally get about 7-5 on the odds for a goal after that time. But the bet came in. I could have even been greedier and got more over 2.5 goals, but it came in. Doesn't matter. Just under even money, which is really good value for that league, because contrary to my banker, you do not normally get low scoring games in that league.
Yeah.
My value bet was in the German Bundesliga 2, so the second division in Germany, Paderborn to beat Sandhausen, which they did 2-1. Sandhausen took an early lead inside 15 minutes. That made the game a little bit interesting, but Paderborn were able to level before halftime and then went on and got the winner about 20 minutes from the end. So just under even money, 7-10 they were last week. So decent value bet.
And my value bet was the most disappointing pick of the week for me, which was Pex Vola versus FC Emmen. FC Emmen hadn't won a game since February 2020 and decided to do it in this game. They won 3-2. If you imagine how shit a result it was for me, it was much worse for the Zvola manager, who got sacked after the game.
And quite rightly so.
Very, very rightly so. But so disappointed. I was saying, I texted Andy about it immediately. I was like, I can't bring a better pick to the show than that. Like, I can't bring a better pick of, like, this team haven't won a game in a year. Right? Like, you know, I've got a team that are all right away from home. It's even money. I think this is it. Nope. So they lost 3-2 to FC Emmen, who have their congratulations, FC Emmen. And I think we should mention that one of the members of the Facebook group,
Michael Garrett,
accidentally bet on FC Emmen and accidentally returned himself a very tasty number. Because he must have been the only person who's bet on them that day. Like, I can't see anyone going, today's the day. Like, you know, after a year, like, I know there's a turning point for everyone, but I thought it wouldn't be that game. But yeah, so congrats to Michael in there in that spot for getting something. It's very much the contrast to Andy in that one, where, like, you put on the wrong bet and it comes in. It's, you know, you sometimes get those winners.
Although as quite a nice back armour. Like, see if your coupon is let down. See the different things that goes through your head when the coupon's let down by somebody. You want the person that missed the sitter to refund you your stake. You want the manager to give you money back. You want the manager sacked as the responsible team. You got the manager sacked.
You got the manager sacked, yeah.
Aye, you're right. That was a sackable offence.
It was a sackable offence.
My outsider was up there with one of the worst outsiders. Now, the outsider is the one we always go leaning on each other for, because we're trying to pick something that's 2-1 or greater, and sometimes it just does. Sometimes they're outsiders for a reason, and we've totally misread the card, and that's what I done in the A-League. Western United versus MacArthur. So these are the two newest franchises to the Australian A-League. MacArthur this year, Western United last season. MacArthur had won the last 3 games against teams that were top of the table the previous season. Western United had lost 4 in the spin. Western United managed to pull off a 4-1 victory over the team that I had picked, MacArthur, at 2-1. So it was never even remotely close. They got absolutely pummeled. Western United were tremendous, like a really good side. They're a team that I'm going to watch out for now because I'm beginning to think that their previous four games were just a blip. It's still kind of restricted on news. Like, I don't know if players were left out because of COVID, people were injured. It's always hard to get that kind of level of information before we do these picks. But yeah, I misread that card tremendously because Western United were phenomenal and MacArthur were shit.
My outsider was closer to home. It was the English League One. Doncaster at home to Hull was my pick at 11-5. So while the pick didn't come in, I'm happy with the way the game went and the 11-5 price tag that I took. It finished 3-3 in what was a very competitive match. My thoughts being that the game could easily have gone either way. So why not take the big 11-5 price on a home team? Game could have gone either way. It didn't go my way, but it was close enough. So you win some, you lose some. At 11-5, I feel that was vindicated.
And speaking of you win some and you lose some, going from my horrible value luck to some great outsider news, which was Frankfurt at home to Bayern. Frankfurt cruised this game in the first half of this. They were like, we talked about it last week. That Nicola Sulla, who plays for Bayern, I can't believe he's getting a game at such a high level. Like, you know, being a Bayern centre back, you've got to be quite good at football. Like, to get to there, there's a certain level you've got to exceed. And Frankfurt just ran through them. So, you know, you got your early payout because Frankfurt went up 2-0. They actually won it 2-1 with Sané, pulled back a wonder goal in the second half. But, yeah, Frankfurt at 3-1. Great price. And, I was well chuffed with that as an outsider.
Yeah, see, for the first, you get the early payout. We tend to bet. We bet 365 where you get the early payout. But for the first 60 minutes, Gordo, even though Bayern came back into it, it was still a very open game on the counter. The last 20 minutes, however, I was so glad of that early payout because to me it was baffling that Bayern didn't get the win.
They do this against Bielefeld. They did that against Bielefeld where we backed them to come back into the game, right? They get to the point where you think they can't lose this. Like, they're getting so many chances and it just doesn't go the right way for them. So it's mental, but, you know, I'm happy with 3-1. Actually, I got slightly more than 3-1 because I bet, I think, just on the Thursday night, and I think they were slightly over that. But, well chuffed for that.
And we've already mentioned the charity bet. So charity bet is £10 of our own money on a treble. We do one pick each. We try and get decent odds, like minimum kind of 4-5 for the odds. Put it on a treble. If the money comes in, we hand it all over to Beats and Cancer Trust. If it doesn't, we give a tenner for every bet that didn't come in at the end of the season anyway. So either way, charity gets money. I went in the Czech League for the second time this season. I went for Ceska at home to Opava. They actually lost 1-0 in a game that was just dreadful to watch. I watched the second half. Opava got a late goal to win the game, but Ceska were never, ever, ever going to win that game. It was honest to God terrible. And it's really put me in doubt of watching that Czech league because I think every time I've looked at it this season, whether it be Celtic playing Sparta in the Europa League when they had all those players out with COVID and managed to beat Celtic 4-1 twice. And then I think I had bet on Sparta separately, not on the podcast, the weekend after they beat Celtic twice the second time and they lost 3-1 at home to the team bottom. So I think for the current season, I am bowing out of going near Czechs. So I am avoiding that league. So if you hear me mention that league, go and remind what I've said on this episode.
There's quite a list of them though, John.
There is, John. You're very quick to put something on the blacklist.
Villarreal. No, it was the Valencia, Hamilton. You know, all your big Stoke, metropolitan cities.
Stoke.
No, Stoke to draw is fine. You just don't back them to win.
Yeah. Like,
you're allowed to be in different spots.
Correct.
My charity pick at the weekend sailed in. It was Sunday at 2 p.m. Aston Villa v Leicester. Took the away win for Leicester at what was a huge price of 11-8, and that paid out within 23 minutes. They went on to win the game 2-1, but taking that 2-goal lead after the 23rd minute meant the bet was in. In terms of shots and attacking play, Leicester dominated the game in terms of chances and were well deserving of their victory. So happy. Capped off a 3 out of 4 week for me.
And I did not get my charity bet this week, which for new listeners is a real surprise. This was Verona versus Genoa, and it was I'd taken Genoa to take this to take a win here. They were never ahead in the game. They ended up getting a 94th minute to make it 2-2, which makes the pick seem a lot closer than it was. You know, they scrambled to get that goal right at the end. So their historic beatings of Verona, 5 beatings in a row, could not be taken to 6. But yeah, so I was 2 out of 4. But yeah, reasonably pleased with that, considering I got my outsider in.
So for the new listeners, that's the kind of format you can expect the bets to come when we go into next week's picks. But it's just a reminder, for those who are part of our Trample Bet Club on Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/tramplebet, it's £5.50 a month. It's early access to the unedited raw version of this on video and audio, which you get Andy's cheat sheet. That'll also be the ad-free. So as part of this new network, at this point in the podcast, when I stop speaking, there will be some ad content. Let's move on to this week's picks. I am going back to Australia for the banker. I'm trying to redeem myself from last week, so I'm going to go for it, Andy. No judgment here. I think I've nailed this one. I think I've went to the right place for these bets. The banker bet is Western Sydney Wanderers versus Adelaide. I am going for the same bet, a goal in the second half at 1-4 on William Hill, best price. This is the 6 a.m. Saturday on BT Sport. The last 3 second halves for Western Sydney Wanderers have seen 3 goals, 2 goals and 3 goals. The last 3 second halves for Adelaide have seen 3 goals, 4 goals and 2 goals. So an average of 3 and an average of 2.25. I am very comfortable on this bet. I watch Western Sydney Wanderers a lot because of Ziggy Gordon and Graham Dorans. They're a very attacking side. Like I said, they score a lot of goals after 70 minutes as well. I am extremely comfortable with this bet. This is a banker that will come in at 1-4, a goal in the second half of the early kickoff, 6 a.m. Saturday, Western Sydney Wanderers versus Adelaide United.
I like it. I've got to trust you when it comes to Australia, John, and your knowledge of the A-League. I'm closer to home. My banker's on Sunday at noon in the English Championship. Wickham versus Norwich. You're getting Norwich at what I think is a really big price of 4-9, so almost 1-2. It was a toss-up this week for me between... I was actually looking at Bayern Munich at home to Cologne, but the odds of 1-6 were just too short. So I've gone for this instead. Norwich are now 7 points clear at the top of this championship. They've taken 12 points in the last 5 matches. The only loss in there being a 2-0 away from home effort 5 games ago against 4th-place Swansea. So absolutely nothing to write home about there. That's absolutely fine. Wickham, bottom of the table, 5 points behind second bottom Sheffield Wednesday, 8 points adrift of safety. We've managed to cobble together 7 points in their last 5 games. That included a win against fellow strugglers Huddersfield, a draw against a mid-table Millwall team, and then a shock 1-0 win against 5th place Reading. Although this game was mental, there was a sending off and 2 missed penalties in the second half, so happy to chalk that up as a bit of an outlier. Their losses came against Derby and Sheffield Wednesday, who are 18th placed and 23rd place respectively. So they're losing to bad teams. There's a lot to like about Norwich here. They've picked up more points than anyone in the league away from home this season, 32 points from 16 games, while Wickham, second bottom of the home game league table, with only 14 points recorded from their 16 home matches. So I just see Norwich being far too strong. I think the fact that Wickham recently turned over Reading is actually a good thing. It's not only boosted the price up of a Norwich win, but it'll act as a reminder to Norwich that they shouldn't get complacent here, because these things can happen. 4-9 is just too big a price, so that's a Norwich win.
Yeah, I really like this. I think the odds are way too good as well. I think this is like one of those ones where the odds aren't, but it borders on value for me.
Yeah,
because I think Norwich had a blip like 5 weeks ago where they went 4 without a win, they get knocked out of the FA Cup, but they seem to have just got the wheels back on and moving forward, and they know how to win this division. They know how to get out this league. I really think this is a good pick. I think those 4 wins that they've had in a row, I think Coventry are kind of the closest team that I've been watching that are kind of similar to Wickham, and Norwich took care of them 2-0 away from home recently. I think a similar result was on the cards. I really like this.
I would have taken them at 1-6 if this game was the other way around at home. So that I think that gives you. So my banker in this spot is Galatasaray at home to Erzurum. This is top of the table. So this is the Turkish top division. This is top of the table Galatasaray versus 17th, just above the relegation zone, Erzurum BB. Now, Erzurum have picked up some points recently, but they've been against, as Andy was saying, for his pick against the dross around the bottom of the division, whereas Galatasaray are beating the top teams around them. Galatasaray have won 7 of their last 8 games. Their only loss in that spell is a 3-2 loss to Alanyaspor in the cup. So I'm not too fussed about that. They then went and beat Alanyaspor 1-0 last week. So it's not as if they're not capable of doing that. I don't really even think there's much more to say about this pick rather than Galatasaray are a class above this team. You know, form-wise, they've taken 15 points from the last... they've taken 5 points from the last... 15 points from the last 5 games. Erzurum have picked up 8 from the last 5. So, you know, they've went on a wee bit of a run. But Galatasaray have only conceded 2 goals in that spell. Like they don't, they're tight at the back. They're the best team in this league, and they're vying with Fenerbahce and Besiktas up the top to make that another title for them. So you're going to get them at 1-3 at home here, and that's away from home. You can make an argument maybe Erzurum could frustrate them, but give me 1-3 on a team that I think should probably be about 1-6. I'm happy to take in this spot.
Yeah, Erzurum's goalie got sent off in the last game and is suspended for this game, and he'll be replaced by a goalie who's played once in 2 years, and his one appearance was that sub appearance last week, where he then conceded 2 goals for a team that already conceded a lot of goals. I know it's not always fair to make that comparison in a league with a goalkeeper that we don't watch, but if you're number 2 to someone who's conceding a lot of goals, it doesn't necessarily speak volumes for yourself.
Yeah, they're not watching him and going, fucking Swiss cheese out there, the big man. but yeah, so I'm taking Galatasaray in this spot, 1-3 at home.
Okie doke. For my value pick, I'm going to the Belgian Jupiler League. I'm going for Hercule Bruges versus Vasslin Beveren, the 3:15 Saturday kickoff, the traditional Belgian kickoff. I'm kidding. I have no idea what a Belgian kickoff would be.
Great. Good to get an in-joke in there. Love it.
I'm taking the home side, Hercule Bruges. They're under new management. They've played the last 3 games. They've went through to the quarterfinals of the League Cup. They have drawn 0-0 with Anderlecht, and they won their last home game. This is a must win. This is third bottom versus bottom in the league. There's only one team that's guaranteed to get relegated out this division. Vasslin Beveren currently hold that spot. Hercule Bruges will want to be extending their lead on that. Like I said, unbeaten under new management. This is a must-win game for both sides. I think Hercule Bruges, the way they've been playing, are the ones more equipped. They've got a new centre-forward on loan from Monaco, who are, I think Monaco and Hercule Bruges are owned by the same chairman, investors. So you'll see like there's 4 of their players that are on loan from Monaco. The striker made his debut, scored off the bench. He'll probably start. He looks really good up top. I think Hercule Bruges will nick this one. I think it'll be a 1-0 win. But the home side are 4-5, so you're getting really good odds for that. So I'd look into that game. I'd maybe even let that game see because of how tight the game will be. Maybe even let that game start and just have a wee look for 10-15 minutes. I think what you'll see is Hercule Bruges will have most of the possession, playing with a back three. They'll invite teams on. They'll try and break a press, and they will counter really quickly. That's what they've been doing really well recently under new management. Whose assistant's Thomas Buffel. He used to play with Rangers.
Really?
Yeah, it was his birthday recently and just seen a picture they shared of him. I was like, that's Thomas Buffel.
That's Thomas Buffel.
But yeah, 4-5, really good odds for the home side. I really, really like that pick. It's something it's a league that I watch a lot because David Bates plays for Hercule Bruges and Jack Henry plays for Oostend. His teams I'm familiar with. Vasslin Beveren are the whipping boys of that league. And I fancy Hercule Bruges to have enough to win 1-0.
For my value pick this week, I am in Denmark, the Danish Superliga, Sunday at 1 p.m. in a game that is probably of no interest to anyone apart from diehard fans of both clubs. It's Nordjylland versus Aalborg. It's 10th place Nordjylland on 18 points, 8th place Aalborg. Only one game ahead on 21 points, and it's fair to say both teams have struggled recently. They've only picked up 2 points from their last 5 league matches. That's both of them. But what sways me in favour of Nordjylland here is their home record. They are a team that play vastly better at home than on the road. In fact, they're the league's fourth best home team, which is quite impressive considering, you know, they're 10th in the table. They've gained 13 points from 8 home matches this season. Aalborg's recent away games have been poor. They haven't won on the road in 7 attempts. That's 5 losses and 2 draws across all matches. New Zealand also like playing Aalborg. The last 6 meetings of the sides have been 3 New Zealand wins and 3 draws. So they're unbeaten in the last 6 meetings. Why I've got this in the value section is I think you're getting a very big price here. You're getting 6-4 on New Zealand to win this match. That's big enough for me to take this. If they were around even money, I wouldn't even consider mentioning this game in the podcast. But 6-4, I think that's a decent price.
I like it. Trust you when it comes to Denmark.
Yeah, so. I think you kind of said everything that I was going to feed back. Was the only thing to look at for me was how many games Aalborg seemed to draw or lose by a single goal. Is always, people get to know me, that's the only thing I ever look at, is just because that you the fine margins of what can go wrong when teams are losing by a single goal.
Yeah, and but I think that's made up for in the fact you're getting a price that's significantly over even money. Yeah.
Decent, I like it. Well, I'll take us to one of my favourite leagues. This is the French Ligue 2. This is round 27, and it is a traditional French kickoff, actually, of 2 p.m. They love a 2 p.m. start. So I'm going to be taking Toulouse at home to Amiens. Toulouse's home form is sensational. They've had some really good results recently. If you look through their overall form, actually, it's a big green stripe with occasional yellow in there if you're using the Flash Score app. They had a really good result the other day against Bordeaux in the Cup, who are, you know, in the top French division. They beat them 2-0, and that was away from home. So they're doing pretty well. If you look at the league overall, Toulouse have been one of these teams you think, right, they're probably going to make it through because they're in the third spot, just above just in the kind of playoff zone. But they're tied on points with Clermont and Troyes. Amiens are not having such a good season. These were two teams that were relegated last year from the top division. Amiens have got 33 points from their 26 games. Toulouse have got 49 from their 26 games. Amiens can't score. That's their main problem here. They've scored 21 goals and conceded 21 goals, giving them a 0 goal difference, as opposed to Toulouse, who are 48 for scored 4, 30 conceded. I think Toulouse will have enough to win this game, and I like the odds just under even money of 6-7. Another thing to note about this is this game was played last year, obviously, because they were both in the top tier, and Toulouse won it 2-0 in that spot. Amiens away form is one of the things that's put us on at this as well. They drew with Grenoble. They lost to Pau, who've just been promoted from the Ligue Nationale, and for long-time listeners, were a team that we really bet against for quite some time. And they lost to Paris FC. They drew 1-1 with Dunkerque in the Cup. These are all names that should be very familiar to people that are long-time listeners. I think Toulouse will have enough to win this game. They'll probably win 2-0 because Amiens aren't very good at scoring goals. And you're going to get that at 6-7.
Yeah, it's the goals for Amiens. I think you can take this comfortably and see you've got the value on the right side for this. I'm pretty confident with that one, Gordo.
Good.
For my outsider, I am staying in the Belgian Jupiler League. I am going to Oostende versus Kevin Mechelen. This is the not traditional time Belgian kickoffs at 5:30 p.m.
They hate a 5:30.
They hate it. It's dinner, mate. People are sitting down to dinner. Fuck's sake. Oostende are fourth in the league versus ninth placed Mechelen, but there's only 4 points separating the two. This is the second best home team versus the second best away team in that league. Kevin Mechelen's form away from home has been tremendous for a team that I had to Google and find out who they actually are. This is two really good informed sides, and it's because of this that everything I'm thinking about is leading me to picking the draw in this game at 13-5. Traditionally, when I go to a draw, it's normally because I see glaringly obvious things. I think, Andy, when you picked QPR versus Stoke to be a draw, there had been like 4 home QPR draws and 4 away Stoke draws in a row. It screamed clearly. When I look at this, Oostende, like I said, second best home form, Mechelen, second best away form. They're both winning and losing to teams that each are beating. So it really matches up when you look at who they're playing and who's around them. It just seems so obvious to me that when I was looking for Oostend to pick them as a home side, I almost picked Mechelen for their away win. And then I just settled bang in the middle of going, because I like Jack Henry and Oostend, I don't want them to lose, but I don't want to fully back them on the win. It looks like Mechelen are more than capable of scoring. Oostend tend to win their games by a narrow margin. It seems like it's set up for a 1-1 draw for me in this game.
And in games like that, you tend to find, because people generally don't like backing draws, that you get a little bit more value on the draw, and it's the price is artificially higher than backing either team. People like to back a team, and therefore they can cheat it on.
Yeah.
Cheating on a draw is a bizarre thing to do when you're actually watching a game. So people tend not to back as many draws, and you get that little bit of a price increase. So, yeah, I like it. 13-5. It's an outsider. Sounds pretty good. My outsider is in Denmark again, so in the Danish card on Sunday, 1 p.m. Odense versus Randers. Odense were on my banker. They were my banker last week. I'm actually going to back against them this week and back fifth place Randers. So Randers are in fifth. Odense are in seventh. Randers are a good road team. They play very well away from home. They've picked up 16 of their 27 total points on the road this season. Odense have only managed 13 points at home, so Randers have more points away than Odense have gotten during their home games. Everything does point to this game being a really low-scoring affair. Both teams have drawn 0-0 twice in their last three matches, so that's six games, four of which have been 0-0. The teams played a friendly in Odense in January during the winter break, and Randers won that 1-0. I can see an exact repeat of that scoreline. In fact, the correct score, the 1-0 correct score to Randers is 7-1. I'll probably be putting a tiny little bet on that. But the main pick is Randers to come away from this game with a win, which you'll get is 17-10. They're the outsider in this game marginally. And I think that's a decent price.
Yeah, it was a friendly I looked at, Andy. The 2-0-0s did stand out as glaringly ones that I was worried about, thinking about if there's going to be a winner, who the fuck's actually going to bother scoring a goal in this game? But I'm willing to follow the stat and the most recent head-to-head. I do like the odds. I think you're getting good price.
I will see that come in. And do you know what's nice about this, right, is that, see, for the outsiders, John's mentioned he thinks his game's going to be 1-1. Andy thinks his name's going to be 1-0. I have another idea of a correct score as well, so I can feel a spicy patent coming on here with this. My pick for the outsider section is Trabzonspor versus Fenerbahce. Now, this Trabzonspor are a team I've backed quite a few times. So Trabzonspor, in their last 10 games, have won 9 of them and drawn 1 against a Fenerbahce team who have a similar record. However, Trabzonspor have won this game the last 3 seasons in a row. They've managed to beat Fenerbahce in this exact spot. Trabzonspor and Fenerbahce are so closely matched in this. But getting the home team at 2-1 in this spot is a much better price for me than whatever you're going to get. They fancy Fenerbahce at 5-4.
Even if you read this game as a coin flip,
yeah,
you're going to pick the 2-1 home team. Like, that's like, and the value you're getting out of that is incredible.
Yeah, and Trabzonspor, I think, will win this game 1-0, as they have a habit of doing. They beat the teams they need to beat 1-0. Which I quite like. So Trabzonspor 1-0 win in this spot for them is at 8-1. So
I'm a big fan of backing Trabzonspor since you turned me onto it the other week.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a midweek one where you text me at half time or something, going, "Why don't you stick some money on this? They're 4-1 or something just now." It's okay. Oh, yeah. Winner, lovely.
So I 1-0 in here, but I think Trabzonspor will win this game, and 2-1 is a big enough price for me.
I've been watching Fenerbahce, so I had Fenerbahce on my coupon, and last weekend they lost 1-0 at home to Göztepe, who are an absolutely rotten team. Fenerbahce were decent, to be fair. They absolutely pummeled them, but there's been calls for their manager to get sacked. So, God, I think that if this comes in, you're getting another manager sacked this weekend.
Another nail in another coffin.
They can send it to me. I'm going to get myself a little PO box, and they can send me all their complaints about this. As long as the pick comes in, that's fine.
The Trample Bet podcast, the P45 creator.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll go on to our charity pick. We've mentioned that a few times now. It's £10 of our own money, but it's not sponsored in any way. £10 of our own money on a treble, one pick each. The winnings goes to Beats and Cancer Trust. If it doesn't, we give the tenner over anyway. I am going to the German Bundesliga on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. It is RB Leipzig versus Mönchengladbach. I am going for both teams to score. Three of the last five meetings between the two, I've had both teams to score. Both teams have only failed to score in one of the last 15 Bundesliga matches. So that doesn't mean that all the games can have both teams to score. But 14 of those 15, the teams have scored. This is two very attacking sides. Even though Man City absolutely dismantled Mönchengladbach, there was still a little bit of a threat after they went a goal down. They looked good on the break. That's what they'll play into. They'll let Leipzig come onto them. They'll try and catch them on the break. These are two very attacking sides in German football, two up-and-coming sides. They are the third and fourth. I really fancy this to be a high-scoring game. I actually fancy Leipzig to win the match outright as well. But I do think that the more secure bet is that both teams will score. I could see this being a really high-scoring game as well. I think Leipzig could win this 3-2, 3-1. Really entertaining game. Just really like the way both teams play.
Angelino makes such a difference to that team.
He's amazing. Man City, like, been playing a defensive mid at left-back, been playing centre-halves at left-back. But yeah, I'm going for both teams to score in the Bundesliga, Leipzig versus Mönchengladbach.
It's a new season in Japan. The J-League returns this weekend. What a glorious situation. The opening match is actually Friday morning, UK time. It's last season's champions and trample bet favourites, Kawasaki Frontale, against the Yokohama F Marinos. It's going to be wonderful. I'll probably wait a few weeks before I fully dive into the J-League picks, but one game from the card stands out for me this weekend, and it's a Sunday game, 4 a.m. UK time. Newly promoted Avispa Fukuoka against last season's third-place team, Nagoya Grampus 8. Nagoya should have more than enough to beat the division's new boys, and an almost even money price is incredibly generous. 10 to 11, you'll get Nagoya on Bet365 just now. The Japanese league had no relegation last year. They kept the 18-team top league last year stayed, and they promoted the top two finishers from the J2 league. So the league expanded from 18 to 20 teams, with Tokushima and Avispa Fukuoka coming up for the 2021 season. I just think it's a very hard task hosting a team like Nagoya on your very first day. And I think if you look at the stats of the league, you look at the stats of Fukuoka last season, they were very, very impressive. Finished the season on 84 points, but they were playing against substandard second division teams. So reading the results and seeing all those wins is probably why you're getting such a high price on Nagoya here. I think Nagoya should win this comfortably. And an even money price is tremendous.
Remember last, it might have even been two seasons ago, that you had a similar bet, Andy, and I think it was against Wita that it just came up.
Mm.
It always concerns me. Like, see, for the first couple of weeks of a new season when a team's been promoted, like, you actually don't necessarily always see a team just get battered.
No, you don't. Not always. But I think Nagoya are a class team. They were championship contenders last year. Well, Kawasaki Frontale sort of ran away with it, but they were definite second place contenders. There were three teams in the league last year that were head and shoulders above the rest of them, Nagoya Grampus being one of them. They will know what they need to do on opening day here. I would be very, very surprised if they didn't win. I'd probably be looking at Nagoya here at odds of 1-2. And still thinking that was fair. So even money, I'm all over it.
Yeah, I mean, I bet quite a lot on Avispa Fukuoka last season, and they are so frustrating to watch. Like, I can't remember the exact striker. They've got an ex-Heart striker that plays for them, and he has just given up on moving. Do you remember, like, Berbatov? Be like, unless the ball's here, I'm uninterested.
Like Osman,
and
it was Sam. Like that.
Like Osmond as well. Nagoya Grampus are a class act and should roll over the top of them. I am going to round off this week and the charity bet, hopefully, with a big price. This is AS Roma versus AC Milan, and I'm going to take AS Roma to win this game at the price of 11-8. AC Milan have got to play a Europa League fixture that they need to win. All the Zs and the Cs. And basically what happens in my eyes in this game is that Roma have far too much to be able for them to deal with. AC Milan's away form hasn't been very good. They are, they obviously drew 2-2 with Crvena Zvezda. Spezia, they lost 2-0 to. They beat Bologna 2-1. They lost to Inter. So the last few games, they've been dropping points away from home. Roma have won the last three games on the spin. They beat Udinese 3-0. They beat Verona 3-1. And they beat Spezia 4-3. They can score goals, which is the most impressive part. And I think AC Milan will be tired for this game. So 11-8 seems like a good place to be taking AS Roma.
It's a toss of a coin for me.
Yeah, I don't particularly like this pick. The three teams you've just mentioned that they've beaten are nothing to write home about at all.
You are correct.
In fact, however, you would expect them to beat them.
You are correct. However, AC Milan have lost to Spezia in what is one of the most recent games. And I know Roma have, but Roma's was in the cup.
Yeah.
So it was a lesson. And they came back and you know, took the game later on. I just think Roma have found a bit of form recently. You know, if you look at these two teams, if you consider how much press there's been for AC Milan this season with their acquisitions, Roma are 5 points behind them in fourth. You know, they're not a million miles away. They're a home team in this instance, and you're getting them 11-8. So that's the reason I like this pick, and I will happily stick by it and personally apologise to the beats in next week.
So that was
should that
was,
not come in.
That was our charity treble. As I mentioned before, we have our Facebook group. If you go to facebook.com and search the Trample Bet Podcast, it's a private group. We will let people in to join. The only rule is don't pester people to join some sort of promoted betting place or follow your link to get betting discounts. It's not that group. It is coming into a community that is private and sharing picks, discussing picks. Out with the podcast, we have some tremendous people who are not linked to our podcast. They are just members of the group who will bring you hockey tips, detailed rugby tips. It's tremendous. It far outweighs anything we could do on a podcast level week to week. There's so much good content on that Facebook group. So that is what you want to be going and searching for on Facebook. It is just, I can't keep up with it. I can't keep up with the people in there and what they're betting on. It's just tremendous.
There's a lot of good info from a global community, which is fantastic. The Facebook group's also where we host our fantasy sports stuff. So if you fancy getting involved in the English Premier League fantasy football, or more timely, the fantasy baseball season, which is coming up, do join the Facebook group and drop a note in that you're interested in one of those things. Fantasy baseball draft will happen in a couple of weeks' time.
We tend to focus on football in this podcast, but as part of the Patreon, which we've already mentioned, which is £5.50 a month, we will have a UFC 259 card coming up on Monday. We will have the Cheltenham Festival previews coming up. Andy's best picks, Gordo's best picks. Andy and Gordo done a whole Cheltenham Festival day-by-day breakdown last year. So for £5.50 a month, you can get all of that, early access to these episodes. Andy will have a cheat sheet which has got all our picks, so you don't have to sit with a pen and paper and go through what we've picked and what we've dissected off of each other to try and kind of, just as a reminder, if you're going through your Kooten picks, what to look at, what we've looked at, why we've looked at it, just to get an idea. The other thing we would always ask is interaction, sharing the podcast, getting in touch with us with stuff you've liked. We try and cover as many games and get highlight picks where we can. But we can't see everything, and we are by no means, despite this being a betting podcast, we are by no means selling ourselves as geniuses, because if we were, we probably wouldn't be doing this free podcast. We'd be probably sitting in some island just watching our money work for us. So hopefully you've enjoyed this first episode. If you have, share it, tag people, look out for it on Facebook, Twitter. We will be having an Instagram page eventually. Please get in touch if you're a new listener, and we'd really, really love to hear from you. That was the podcast. Have a good weekend.
Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trample Bet Podcast is produced by John Walker and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.